We welcome Melanie as our speaker today at our 7 a.m. Sunday morning 30-60-90 meeting. When you speak, it is considered implied consent to have your voice and your share recorded and posted on oafootsteps.com as a podcast. To preserve your anonymity, please use only your first name or an alias when you share. We thank you for your service. A reminder to all those listening, the opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole.
Thank you. And this morning, we'll be looking at the three steps. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable, and this principle is honesty. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. The principle is hope. And step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to care of God as we understand him. And this principle is faith. So Melanie, as you, once you introduced yourself, there is a question that we ask each week that we have a speaker, and we are asking you as well. And that is, here's the gist of it. It's my first meeting, and I'm here because I can't stop eating, especially at night, even though I want to and I know I need to. Any thoughts that you have that can help me would be greatly appreciated. And the second part that, to that is, why are the steps so important? So if you could address those two things while people are writing their questions in the chat, that would be great. And on this note, I'm going to turn the meeting over to Melanie.
Roz, if you could give me 5 minutes before whatever time you give me, it's fine, and then we can go from there.
Okay, somebody needs to be the timekeeper and do that.
I'll do that.
Okay, John raised his hand. All right, Ron, either one. Sorry.
Go ahead, John.
Hi, my name is Melanie, and I am a compulsive overeater. I've been in OA for 8 years, and I have almost 26 months of abstinence. I have 154 pounds released and am now, for the last 6 months, maintaining a healthy body weight. And that for me is a pure miracle in itself, because I, Melanie, have never been able to maintain any kind of weight loss for my 57 years when I struggled in the food. I know that I had always been in the food. I used to blame my weight when I was born on that. I was 11 pounds, 5.5 ounces. I was born to be fat. I had noted for saying that, but that was just an excuse, a reason that I could continue eating the way that I was. And I did continue. My first diet was when I was 10 years old. At 10 years old, I weighed 197 pounds. The doctor had put me on it because I wanted my ears pierced, but my ears were too thick, and that was the way that he was going to dangle the carrot in front of me. But little did he know, I thought that my world had come to an end and being put on a diet. And my mom, feeling sorry for me, went and got self-piercers, and I got my ears pierced. But I felt that I just felt worthless. I didn't think my mom felt that I could lose weight. And that twist of the mind took it to that. And it affected my relationship with my mom. Little did I know until I did my step four. But the diets continued and the eating continued. By the time I was married at age 23, I was close to 400 pounds. And I say that because of the fact, after my son was born, I was 27 when he was born. And when, after he was born, I had my appendix rupture. And I landed in the hospital on a Sunday night. And they couldn't operate until Thursday because they didn't know what to do with me because I was 445 pounds. They thought that they would kill me by operating, but I was basically a ticking time bomb anyways. But did that stop me eating? No. I was oblivious to that. I came near death because of that. And I continued eating. 11 years ago, I was well over 600 pounds. My husband had taken sick and I didn't know how I was going to take care of him because he took care of me. I was on 170 units of insulin, high blood pressure, and my gut was fully outside my abdominal wall. That hernia had come from my surgery that I had had from my appendectomy. I was a ticking time bomb. But knowing that I needed to take care of my husband who was sick, I said, well, I'll just have to focus on him. He was diagnosed with diabetes. I knew the diabetic diet. I didn't follow it. But I said, okay, I'm going to focus on him. I'm going to help him. And in helping him, I started to lose weight due to the diabetic diet. 9 months later, he died and I struggled. But knowing how he struggled and fought for life, I somehow knew that I had to too. I finally went to the doctor because I avoided doctors for my entire life because of probably if I went, they would have told me, all you need to do is diet and exercise. You need to lose weight. I heard it so many times, I didn't want to hear it no more. I tried. I couldn't. So I finally went to the doctor and she sent me to a doctor to see about my hernia, who sent me to another doctor because he didn't know how to handle someone who was such a size. Even though I had lost some weight, I was still quite large. By the time I seen the surgeon, I was 431. They assumed that I was well over 600 with the pictures that I had taken or had found because I usually hid from the cameras. And I'll show those pictures after meeting so that it doesn't take away from the talking right now. The progression was huge for me. It was total delusion that I was living in. I even 20 years after that fact went into the hospital again and had to have an abscess removed and left open to heal for 10 weeks in the hospital. I near died again. Did it strike me down as in I needed? No. But when my husband took sick and knew I needed to get that fixed, that was the catalyst to get me going. But when I arrived at the doctor's office to fix my hernia, little did I know it was a weight loss surgery. And he asked me if I was committed to this. He was going to put me into their weight loss program and lose 30 pounds and he'd do weight loss surgery. And he asked if I was committed and it kind of pissed me off. I had already lost over 200 pounds. What the hell is he talking about? Questioning my commitment. There's the character defect. But in having fear, there's another character defect. I said, I think I am. I went home and I studied up their program like the good student I am. And I put it into action to the extreme of that's how I am. I'm an extremist. It's either overeating or undereating. And this was my transference. I went into it like a trooper and in 9 months lost 200 pounds. The day of my surgery, I didn't need surgery, but I was scared to say no because I felt that he wouldn't fix my hernia repair. I didn't trust anybody. And I had weight loss surgery and I went down to 205 pounds, too low. And I still felt fat and I felt miserable. Even though everyone around me was cheering me on, I felt miserable. I felt I still needed to lose weight. My head was still fat. I was actually able to put my fingers between my rib cage. I was too low, but my head said I was too fat. So both extremes I lived in. When I left that doctor's office 6 months later at 206 pounds, I was triggered by things that he had said, and I went into a complete binge that scared the hell out of me. I couldn't stop. In gaining 20 pounds in a couple of days, I went into a severe depression and sat there with the insulin and the needle in my hand, ready to end it. I was tired of living this way. But knowing that my son had lost his father only a short time ago, I couldn't do that to him. And so I landed at the doctor's office in tears, wanting help. I went to mental health, and there was an 11-month wait list. So I did only what I could do, and I went through self-help programs, therapists, and everything imaginable. And it pulled me out of the hole, but it didn't fix my eating. 26 months, almost 26 months ago, I seen a picture of myself. And I looked at it, I thought, oh my God, I'm going backwards again. I jumped on the scale because I had avoided the scale, and I was 375, 169 pounds regained again. Now, I had gone to a 12-step, gone to OA 8 years previous after that binge. And when I heard people giving up their alcoholic foods and being absent, I said, man, I should be able to eat a little bit. And I left. I didn't go back. For 2 years after that, I went to another 12-step program because I grew up in a home with alcoholism. Excessive drinking, I should say, because my father was never proclaimed to be an alcoholic. And so I went. And there was a short time period when I heard an alcoholic share at a roundup that he gave his surrender to his higher power. And I said, wow, I could do that with my food. And I didn't for a very, very short time. I had no craving. And I thought, that's a miraculous thing. I've got to work on the steps now. But at step four, I stalled. I procrastinated. And I just couldn't answer those questions. It was just so emotional. And I walked away from that program, and food became my master again. Hence, it brought me to my knees, as in when I seen that picture. And I knew I needed the 12 steps. So I went to OA. I was desperate. I remembered in hearing about a doctor's opinion, the allergy to the body and the compulsion of the mind. And when I really, really thought on that, I thought, oh my God, that's what I had. When I start eating certain things, I can't stop. And even when I do stop, I always go back to them like a moth to a flame. I can't stop. So if I can't do it, I have to rely upon a power greater than myself. That's the only solution for me. And so I knew. But it took me 57 years to admit my powerlessness. Oh, I felt at times when I was sitting on the couch at 445 pounds. I can't do nothing. I'm powerless. I'm hopeless. But I still kept trying. It was all in my head. I knew I was powerless, but my heart, there was the block between my head and heart that I just couldn't get it. And until that opened up, that I really, totally, absolutely understood with my heart that I was powerless, did things happen. When I surrendered to my higher power, he took my cravings. I was beat. I knew I needed recovery. or I'd be dead. I knew that I had to figure out what my alcoholic foods were. What foods do I have to refrain from? So I made a list. I also made a list of my behaviors, because abstinence not only is refraining from compulsive eating with the food, it's also behaviors. If I don't address those, then I'm always going to set myself up to fail. So I made a list of the behaviors. Then I figured out what plan of eating I needed to do. And I chose 3 meals a day, no in-between eating, no evening eating. I didn't trust myself. I didn't trust myself at all. But I knew, being diabetic, I needed 3 balanced meals. I also incorporated my behavior plan into my food plan so that I had limits on certain things, so that I could define my abstinence, so I'd know what boundaries I hit. Then I put it into action and left it. Someone had shared with me, you focus on that food will be a problem. You focus on program, you'll have no problem with the food and everything will come into sync. So that's what I did. I put the food in its place and I focused on the 12 steps. That's the solution to every problem I have today, every problem. And I often wondered, what the hell is it that people say, work your program, work your program? Well, I soon came to find out. As I progressed through the steps, steps 1 through 3 is basically you trust God. Steps 4 through 9 set me up of how to work step 10, how to clean house. Steps 4 through 9 is clean house. That is what got me to my problem in the first place. The buildup of emotions took me to the food. I couldn't cope with life. So I used food to cope, to stuff down my feelings and my emotions. So if you take the food away, I'm going to be filled with emotions. And I was. I was so filled with emotions when the food left. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what I was feeling. But I sat with them. And like a detective, I basically looked at them as and say, okay, what is this that I'm feeling? I didn't dive into them. I said, what is it that I'm feeling? And I felt what it felt like in my body. But I also got that step 4 done because I needed to know how to clear it away. And I did the steps the big book way. And when I did that, it was like a whole world opened up. It was like the clarity was there and I was able to see my emotions are connected to my character defects. And if I don't know what those character defects are, how am I going to recognize them to clear them away? I recognized them in step 4. And I was willing to give them over to my higher power too, to take in his time. I made my amends. That taught me that whenever I've done wrong, I make amends, as long as it doesn't hurt them. Steps 10 through 12 is where I live. Step 10 is taking care of them, build up any disturbances. The least little disturbance I have to take care of. If not, I will go crazy. I'll be screaming at somebody, and that emotion will take me to dealing with food, and I don't want to go there. So I have to keep the garbage, clear it out. Step 11, keeping constantly contact with my higher power is where my program will give me the foundation to stay. Prayer is talking to my higher power. Meditation is listening. I have 2 ears, 1 mouth. I have to rely upon my higher power to do for me what I can't do. There's still things that I can do. So it's not all God's responsibility. I have to do my part and take an action. And step 12 is is a spiritual awakening due to working the steps. I work my steps daily to clear away the garbage, to do service, to tell another, to be the message. 12 steps have changed my life in the last 26 months, and they continue to change my life. Things go on in my life that I have no control over, and it can be chaotic and everything, but I'm okay in it. I have peace finally. Food does not call to me. I can be around all the foods of my alcoholic foods and they don't bother me. I can bake them and they don't bother me. That is a pure miracle for this compulsive overeater. But also my relationships. Some relationships have been mended and worked upon. And I'm grateful for that because there were relationships that I thought would never, ever be mended. But one day at a time, they are. It has taught me how to be a better person, how to be a better daughter, how to be a better sister, how to be a better mom, how to be a better me. And I'm grateful for that. I have a purpose now. I share with anyone, whether if they're in OA or whether not. It has given me a way to live that is free. And finally, for once in my life, I love myself. Now that's something, because I hated myself. And I never let anyone close to me because I was afraid if they got close to me, they'd hate me too. Program helped save my life, and I have to keep working it daily. Why? Because I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm never cured. My disease is waiting for me and waiting for that inch so it can take a mile. So I have to stay daily connected with my higher power and work my program daily. Or else I have the food facing me. And I don't want to face that insanity anymore. I don't need to live that way. I don't want to. Program works. It really does. Of all the things that I've tried, they never work, but the 12 steps do. There is the solution to all of my problems today. And they are for you too, if you're willing to go to any lengths for your recovery. Program does work when I work it, and I'm worth it. And so are you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Melanie. Your share really, I think, for me, has touched me deeply. And I'm hoping there are people who have questions they'd like to ask you. And so that please write your questions, and people, don't send them to me, Roz. Send it to Ron or Cheryl, so it can be, if you haven't sent them already. And that way it'll go to just two people and we can keep it simple that way. The first question that you can answer while people are writing their question, Melanie, mm-hmm. is, it's my first day in program. I'm new to this. And, or it could be somebody's been around for a while. I just can't stop eating at night. And it drives me up the wall because I know I have to. And the second part of that is, what's the purpose? Why the steps? Even though you addressed it, kind of give us a succinct kind of answer to these two. That would be great.
In struggling with food for 57 years, I struggled with the fact of not being able to stop. And many times I was faced with that same question. How can I stop? And evening times were the worst for me. And you know, the answer I found in the big book, and especially on the first page. And what does it say on that first page? It says nothing. Absolutely nothing on that first page. That's what I can do. Nothing. Until it finally clicked with me, there was nothing I could do to stop my eating. There was nothing that the 12 steps were going to help me in. Nothing. Until I admit my powerlessness and my life unmanageable, I'll still be working in my own will. And my will and God's will does not work. It's either or. So until I decided that, you know, I'm powerless and I can't do this, and relied upon him, there was nothing I could do to stop eating. And the result would have been death for me. Our disease progresses slowly, but it progresses and it does kill. I have scars on my legs from my legs when they used to swell and crack and seep. It's a wonder I still have my legs, because I know a friend who has lost her toes and is probably going to lose a part of her leg because of her compulsive eating. This disease kills. Until I admit my powerlessness, there was nothing I could do and that God could do for me. Until I admitted that and surrendered, was the only hope for me. And there is the hope. The first three steps is what finally, when I made that decision that I need a higher power to do for me, there was nothing more that I could do. It took me 57 years. But no, this disease will progress and kill you. It will. And if it can take a gutter drunk like myself to drive that home for you, then God will use my words to your heart. Because you know something, this disease will kill. Even though, you know, it will kill. And the steps are the solution.
We've got two hands raised, Melanie. Do you want us to give you like a time frame for each question? Would that help?
You should. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. John, can you do the two minute and just put, like, as long as Melanie, can you see John? Because if you can, he can just put his hands up.
Yeah, I can see John.
Awesome. Okay. You'll just put your hands up, John. Okay.
Okay. Good.
All right. So Cheryl's hand was up first, and then Ron. So Cheryl, go ahead and ask the question, and then Ron will ask his. You need to unmute, Cheryl, because I muted you when I heard the dog.
Okay, I have four questions, but I'll read the first one. And the first one is, Melanie, how do you get back on track after a relapse?
After a relapse, and I call my relapse when I had that short bit of abstinence and then went back. I have learned that relapse happens because of one or two reasons. One, because there's an alcoholic food that you've missed. Or two, you ain't working the steps and you've taken back your own will. So therefore, when you relapse, you got to dig into, where did I go wrong? What is it that took me back to the food? What is it that I missed? And if you can answer that question, it'll give you a clue as in so you don't go back and do it again. Program has taught me, if you don't learn what the reason and what you can do better, you'll repeat it. And you'll keep repeating it until you learn. That's why many people have relapse after relapse after relapse. It's because if you're not going to learn what you've done, what is it that I can do better? That's what I learned and do in my step four and my through my step tens. When I recognize the disturbance, I find out what is at play, what character defects, what is it that I can do better, and I do it.
Thank you. Okay. Ron, you want to ask one, and then we'll go back to Cheryl?
Okay, well, actually, I'm going to meld two of them together.
Awesome.
One of them said, what do you do daily to stay spiritually fit? And then the other is, because I think they can tie together, would you describe your relationship with your sponsor and how you maintain that relationship? Because I think they go hand in hand.
Hey. First off, sponsorship is a tool. My primary person that I deal with first is my higher power, because I'm to rely upon him for everything. I can't even remember the first part because I've jumped to the second. Isn't that awful to say that? But my relationship with my higher power daily. Before I even get out of bed, when I wake, my mind goes over what is usually the 11th step. I believe it's called the 11th step meditation, et cetera. That's in the big book. I review what the day, I ask God, what is it that you have me do today? And get myself centered in getting up. And usually by the time I go through that, I basically have my ready to go. I'm raring to go and get out of bed. My feet hit the floor and I'm ready. God, show me what I'm to do. I have a daily morning reading with my fellows that I have done since the day that I've started. And it gets me into page 30 in the big book, page 417 in the big book of the acceptance prayer. As a third step prayer, we repeat and we read the daily readers. And then we end with our creator, show me the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. It had to get into my head that I'm a compulsive overeater and I'll never stop being a compulsive overeater. I need to remind myself that daily. Early in abstinence, I wrote 3 pages of clear conscious writing a day. I don't write as much as I do. I write when I need to. But that really helped me when I was first in abstinence, because it got stuff out of me. And it was almost the time that I was able to talk to God as to what I needed to do. I do service. I call other fellows. I talk to my sponsor. Sponsorship, when I first came in, was very once a week, every week. And we connected. And if I needed her, I would call her. But it wasn't to rely upon my sponsor. If I had a question, and she shared with me. She didn't tell me what to do, because if she told me what to do, I'd be codependent on her. And I had a strong desire to be codependent and telling me someone what to do. If I don't learn to take action myself, I'll still remain codependent and reliant upon somebody else. I need to be reliant upon my higher power. My higher power is God, not my sponsor.
I think, Cheryl, you have the next question.
Melanie, who decides what food plan one must eat?
My food plan, I knew I had to rely upon my dietitian and my doctor, because my crazy brain would make up some shitting diet that probably would not work. And you know something? I had been to so many dietitians and nutritionists, and I never listened to them. So I finally had to listen to them. I know my alcoholic foods, I cannot touch them. I've made a commitment to my higher power never to touch them again. They're poison. If I eat them, I'll die. That's what I drilled into my head. Even when I would go grocery shopping, when I was first abstinent, I'd be going down the aisle and I would see the things of my alcoholic foods and I'd say, poison. And I'd go, not my food. And people probably thought I was crazy in the grocery store, but I had to repeat that in my head so that I would remember. Repetition is what changes my brain. So they're poison. Whenever I see it, poison. I might have a thought, oh, look, poison. It's automatic because I've trained my brain.
Awesome. Ron, you got another question?
Yeah. Did you pass your eating disorder on to your child? I passed mine on to my 23-year-old daughter. And feel terrible guilt.
Nothing happens in God's world by mistake. Period. Nothing. I was scared that I had passed it on to my son because he was chiming in when I ate. And I was really worried. But you know, when I became absent, I couldn't focus on my son. I had to focus on me and getting recovered. And in doing that, my son seen me. And he went down 3 sizes in clothes. He still eats stuff that I don't eat. And I'm so grateful he's not a compulsive overeater. But he hears me talk program. He sees me live program. And I hope that if he ever becomes a compulsive overeater, he knows what he needs to do. The only message I can be is through living program. That's all I can do. I can't tell anyone what to do, even my son. I can't, because he's strong-willed just like his mother. Ain't gonna happen. I can't tell anyone what to do. All I can do is share from my own experience, strength, and hope, and be the message so that someone else will take whatever they will and do whatever they need to for their life. I mind my own business. The guilt is dealt with in step 4. I don't have any guilt. Everything that's happened in my past is for a reason, and I'm grateful for it.
Thank you. I'm looking at our time. Cheryl and Ron, take a look at your questions. See if you can consolidate your questions. If there's someone in the room who still has a question and it's not being answered, please know that we'll be in the parking lot after the meeting for a little while to address questions, but we want to make sure we end the meeting on time. So Cheryl or Ron, do either of you have questions that came to you that has...
Yeah, I have one.
Okay.
Would you please describe the process of how you determined what were your alcoholic foods?
I thought that everything I ate was my alcoholic food. And I thought, how in the hell is this ever going to happen? Because I was eating everything, but my disease had progressed to so much. I was not. I was just stuffing to sate the pain. When I really became honest with myself, I knew what I needed to give up. It was those things that when I started eating them, I could not stop eating. And when I did stop, it was always the thing that I went back to, hands down. Those are what my alcoholic foods were. And, you know, there were some things that, you know, I still tried to hold on to in abstinence. And I called them my yellow foods. And I put a boundary on those yellow foods. Within a month and a half, they were on my red list. I didn't break abstinence because I kept within that guideline. But I listened to what my body was feeling. And I said, oh, there they are. I can't stop eating this. They got to go. So alcoholic foods, I knew what they were. And I could list them one off and off. I'm not sure we can mention foods in this meeting. So that you really have to be honest. Even though when I pulled myself, oh, I can eat everything. That was my dishonesty. It was at play. So be honest, you'll find them.
Thank you. Cheryl, unless you have one that's really pressing, I'm going to have to, is there one that you think you need to ask from that had come from the people who were posing them, or can it wait?
I believe they were basically answered in a way already.
Okay, thank you so much. All right, what I'm going to do now is share the screen because this part of our meeting is officially over. And once I finish reading this one little segment, and we'll stop the recording, and then everybody will be free to unmute it at the time they want to say something. Okay, here we go. Boom. Share. This part of the meeting is over, and we really would like to thank Melanie for sharing your experience, your strength, and your hope, and for sharing your vision of how to do service as part of recovery. And all the participants who asked questions, and those of you who were listening and are present here at the meeting today. All of us being here together really makes a difference. By following the 12 steps, attending meetings regularly, and using the OA tools, we're changing our lives. And as you just this morning felt, as I feel, we can also change other people, help other people to change their lives by learning from each other. We'll find hope and encouragement in Overeaters Anonymous in all the different programs that we offer. To the newcomer, we suggest that at least 6 different meetings that you attend to learn the many ways that OA can help you. There are many different types of meetings, and all are available to support your recovery from compulsive behaviors. Information about these meetings can be found on OA.org and in our intergroup of OAFootsteps.com. If we could please stop the recording at this point. Is the recording stopped?